Welcome back in the Morning Blitz. GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood joined by Mike Bernard again, holding him over for a second round of talking about a little college football right now. Mike, appreciate you staying on with us. We were talking about the eye test, and that's pretty much what you've got to go by this year. I mean, obviously you look at the record, but a 7-6-1 record in the Big Ten may not be the same thing as an 8-2 record in the SEC.
No, it especially if it's a Big Ten West team, mm-hmm. I don't think it could compare, because the SEC is playing 10 conference games, mm-hmm. Unprecedented, and the SEC stronger. Now, the bottom of the SEC and the bottom of the Big Ten, they're really bad. Mm-hmm. They're as bad as some of these conferences that the average fan doesn't want to pay attention to. But again, I rate the Big Ten East right up there with the SEC West and the SEC East as the best divisions. And I can't really say that Clemson's division in the ACC is that great. It's just Clemson dominates that conference, mm-hmm. and they deserve, I mean, we've seen what they can do. Mm-hmm. They deserve to be mentioned and considered, even if Clemson has a loss. Mm-hmm. And coach, I know I'm going all over the place here, but speaking of the ACC, Notre Dame, an official this year, is an official ACC opponent or
right.
participant.
And again, as we've talked about, that's going to count. Of course, Notre Dame has played ACC schedule or half schedule for the last 4 or 5 years, and of course, we remember that great game that they had with Clemson during one of Clemson's national championship years a few years ago, where Clemson stopped a two-point conversion to win that one. That really kind of propelled them and gave them the confidence to go on to the national championship. And this year, November the 7th, is when they travel to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. And the winner of that game, it's going to go a long way in deciding who gets into the playoff from the ACC.
Oh, I would agree. And then, but they may have to play each other again.
Right, in the championship game.
Right, and I don't think Notre Dame wants to see Clemson in a championship-type setting. I think the last time that happened, it was maybe 30-3. But yeah, this is a different year, a different unit. Obviously, 2020, anything can happen. We've seen it. I think it's really interesting to see Notre Dame play this schedule. Coach, do you have any thoughts? Is this going to be something that may help ease the transition to where Notre Dame does participate in the ACC as a football school?
Well, and you know, they've, for several years now, they've competed as a basketball member in all the other sports. Just football is the only thing that they've shied away from. And, of course, we know why that is. It's television
money.
They're the only school. Well, I say they're the only school. Texas has the Longhorn Network now. And, of course, the different conferences have their own networks. But Notre Dame, they're the only one that has a major network, because you can't put an antenna up and get ESPN. But if you're in a metropolitan area, you can have rabbit ears, and you can pick up every single Notre Dame football game. And anywhere in the country, if you have an over-the-air antenna, you can pick up Notre Dame football. No one else has that type of financial commitment that's coming directly to them from their television deal. And as we've spoken before, ad nauseum almost off air, you know, Notre Dame is going to have to find a way to be able to maintain the income from that football television contract and whatever conference they choose to be a part of. And I think the ACC is really the most natural fit for Notre Dame now. Years ago, I would have told you that it was the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. But I really think the ACC is their best fit now. And you're going to have the ACC to kind of agree. Those member institutions are going to have to agree, hey, it's a trade-off. We're going to let Notre Dame keep this, and in return, we're getting this. That's the way that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, and I think the ACC should make concessions there. And if Notre Dame has to, the Irish should as well, because it's a good fit. They're already members in the other sports, and they should be playing in football. And look, if this year has shown anything, you need to have a conference.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to have that affiliation to help with, you know, the scheduling. I mean, look at Notre Dame. If they didn't have the ACC schedule this year, at one point they would have lost SC, Stanford. I mean, they lose all those games. They wouldn't have had a schedule.
Yeah, Navy, I think, would have been the only game that they could have played if you know, as far as their coastal traditional rivals and everything. Navy would be the only one that they could have kept on the schedule and without their affiliation with the ACC.
Right. And, you know, Notre Dame is not, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but they're not going to stoop down and play Conference USA or Sun Belt teams.
No, they're not. Okay, Mike, moving on real quick. This week, number one, Clemson's going to get back in action as they host a Virginia team that was surging at the end of last year. And then, of course, we all know that Auburn and Georgia is the primetime game on ESPN Saturday night. That's number 7 Tigers, number 4 Bulldogs. I'm interested to see Arkansas going into Starkville to take on Mississippi State, who jumped up to number 16 after being non-ranked last week, of course. I want to see if the Bulldogs have that hangover, that upset hangover.
The point spread tells me that oddsmakers think they will have a hangover because they're only a 17-point favorite. Now, remember, Georgia went to Arkansas. Georgia was favored by 28. And so now Arkansas goes to Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's only a 17-point favorite. So I think the oddsmakers are believing that the state's going to have a letdown.
Okay. Number 13, Texas A&M, goes into Tuscaloosa to take on the number 2 Crimson Tide. Nick Saban faces another former assistant, Jimbo Fisher, once again. He's undefeated against his former assistants. Is he going to be undefeated come Saturday afternoon?
I believe so, but, you know, Alabama might be in real trouble. You know, Coach, they got outscored 13-3 in the fourth quarter last week.
Just kidding, of course.
I'm telling you,
that Missouri team was making – they were prone to making a comeback there, don't you think?
Well, hey, look, I think – you know, and this is something as a handicapper, we have to look at when Alabama took the foot off the gas, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. You can't afford injuries, okay? And you want – these coaches are wanting to get these games over as quickly as possible once they get out of hand, and I don't blame them. So that's one other – component we need to handicap.
Right. Hey, Mike, just coming over the wire right now, JT Daniels, the transfer from USC, has been medically cleared, and he will be available Saturday versus Auburn. So if he can get his reps in practice this week, he is going to probably be the starter Saturday night in Athens.
Okay. Do we know if he has been practicing without being medically cleared, or he's just medically cleared for this game?
He is medically cleared to play and will be available Saturday against Auburn is what the wire says right now.
Yeah, but if he's not getting reps in practice to this point, I don't see how you can put him in the game.
Right, yeah. Well, according to my sources, he has only missed 10 days of practice.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, look, he had some great games when he was at USC against quality competition, and they certainly could have used him in the first half in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. It might be one of those things where, hey, Auburn, look at this. You have to be aware of JT Daniels, but if he hasn't played in that long, I'm not sure how effective he'll be. I'm looking forward to that game. It's a primetime game, and, again, right now Georgia's a touchdown favorite.
Okay, Mike, before we let you go, we got to talk about one game that is – and, again, I'm not bringing this up because I'm a Jack State guy, not at all. But on shows so far this morning, I've had more people ask me about Jack State and Florida State because Florida State, I'm sorry, they look like a train wreck. Georgia Tech, who is building something under Jeff Collins – but they're not where they need to be yet, as we saw Syracuse handle them Saturday.
But, yeah, Syracuse is a poor team.
Exactly. And Georgia Tech goes in and wins in Tallahassee 16-13. Of course, Mike Norvell was out with COVID this past week, wasn't able to make the trip, but he will be back and will coach Saturday. But they go to Miami, and they get waxed 52-10. No other way to explain it. Jacksonville State has not played. This is their first game. They're going into Tallahassee, and you know that the Seminoles have got to be looking at, this is a 1AA school. We got to get them taken care of, because the next week we go into South Bend to face Notre Dame. They better not overlook Jack State this week.
Few thoughts on this game. Florida State, right down the street, Mirage has Florida State 26.5. I don't know a lot about Jacksonville State, but I don't think they're four touchdowns worse than Florida State. You're talking about Florida State in a look-ahead spot. Coach, I know it's early, but if you give a performance like that against a heated rival, I think they may have quit already. Mm-hmm. And I know it's September, but we've seen it, and we're going to see it more this year than other years, because they might not be looking to any game, is what I'm saying, because the effort I saw out there on Saturday, and even remember that Georgia Tech game, Florida State led 10-0 at half and got beat.
All right, Mike, appreciate your time as always. We'll be back with you later on this week for the full hour edition of Inside the Numbers. We'll be back after this quick break. GameDaySportsRadio.com.